Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back. Today's Daf is Nedarim Memches. We begin at the Mishnah, which is on Mem Zayin, Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom of the Amud. Says the Mishnah, Harei ne'alech ocherem. We have Reuven and Shimon. Reuven turns to Shimon. I am to you, Cherem. Of course, Cherem here alludes to Isser, as we know that there is something called Cherem, which goes to Bedek Habayis. It's a form of Hegdish. So this reference is a reference of Isser. It should be like Hegdish. My possessions upon you are Usser. It's another way of expressing Neder. In this case, Hamudar Usser. So Shimon, on the other end of the nether, is usher to partake in Reuven's possessions. Harayata laicherim. Reuven tells Shimon, you are upon me as a cherim, in which case it switches around. Hanoider usher, Reuven, the one who uttered the nether, is usher to partake in Shimon's possessions. What if it's a two-way nether? Harayni alecha, I am upon you, v'atala you upon me, shnei masurim, both may not partake from each other. Personal possessions, hanois of all sorts and types, but there's an exception. Something which doesn't really belong to them personally. Although, it's a communal asset, a communal institution, in which all of the community have ownership, have usage rights. Nevertheless, it is not included in this neder, ushnei mutarim. Both these individuals, although they may not have enough of each other personally, but they can partake, they can make use in these institutions and facilities, which were established by those who came up from Bavel, meaning Klal Yisrael on the way back into Eretz Yisrael. They built, you know, the Beis HaMikdash, etc. These are national monuments, national facilities, communal institutions, and therefore don't become affected by a personal nether. Taisvis, Ran, Rush, all use a lashon which relates to like hefker. It's like it was hefker when they established these institutions. They were mafker them. They render them sort of ownerless. There's no personal stake in it. It belongs to you as a member of the community. It's almost like you would say a corporation. So instead of just a partnership, which one has an equal portion, it takes on a life of its own. It's a corporation. It's a national asset. In which case, you as an individual have no balas, have no ownership in that, and therefore you can't block your friend out of your portion. You don't have an individual portion. You do have a portion as part of the general community. But in that sense, you don't have a right. You don't have personal access to that portion which allows you to block your friend out. And the Rambam, Pirsha, Mishnah, Meiri also use similar language. They say each person's portion is mu'at. It's so small. And perhaps they're also referring to the explanation provided by these Rishayim, the Rush, the Ran, and the Taisvis, who explain it by way of hefter, which means, in terms of these institutions, we never allowed for personal, private ownership. We all have a portion, but it's insignificant, meaning, in terms of quality, qualitatively, it's insignificant. It's not a personal stake. It's a communal ownership, in which case, you can't block your friend out of any part of this communally owned, nationally owned institution. So that's mutar. Va'asurim, however, they're usur to make use of the following establishments. B'davar shloi sa'ir, something which was built and maintained by the members of this town, a shul, etc. And the Ran explains on top here, va'asurim b'davar shloi sa'ir, shem darambo. Which belongs to that specific city. In fact, they can sell off their shul if they want. Zion Tuba Ir, you have the Iro City Council, B'ma'am Madan Shir, in presence of the city members. Vavlo Kishutfin, in which case it assumes the status of a partnership. It's a jointly owned establishment, Isrin Zeal Zeh, which of course they can block each other from using. So a local shul, which the Shita Mekubetza says is referring to something built by them or their ancestors, in which case they do have a personal financial stake in that building, in that institution, is considered a jointly held asset, owned by partners, members of the shul, members of the city. The very fact that they have the ability to sell off that asset indicates that they really own it. It's something that belongs to the general, you know, national aspect of Klal Yisrael. It's a locally owned shul. So the nether affects the members of the shul. I can block you out of my portion, and likewise you from your portion. Explains the Mishnah. Vezu dover shaloi li bavel. Let's have an example. A list of communal institutions which are unaffected by this nether. Kigoin harabayis, right? Va'azorois in the harabayis, you know, the parts of the Beis HaMikdash. V'habur shebe'em tzaderach. You have a filling station, middle of the road, which was built and established for the Eilei Regel on the way up to Yerushalayim. It's a communal asset. It's a national facility. In which case, you don't have personal ownership, in which case, a nether cannot be applied to that asset. Ve'ezo davar shleiseir. Give me some examples of locally owned institutions, communal but jointly owned by, you know, the respective members of that community. Kigayna Ruchava, the city square, a merchatz, a bathhouse in town, a beis haknesses, a shul, v'ateva, the platform upon which we, you know, the bima upon which we read the Sefer Torah, v'asfarim, the Sefer Torah themselves. So if a member of this community activates a nether against his friend may not partake in these items. The Gemara explains what this means is as follows. You can preempt and circumvent this Isser nether. So your friend made you Usser on the, you know, on his Nechasim. You want to daven in the shul. So what do? You right away, you commit in writing that your portion in this shul is given away to the Nasi, to the leader. So by relinquishing rights to that portion of the shul, it is now the Nasi's, and therefore your friend can visit the shul without concern of being over on Nidarim. Rabbi Omer, although the Mishnah makes reference to a Nasi, it doesn't have to be a Nasi. You can give it away to anybody and preempt and circumvent the Isser Nether. Echad Kosev L'Nasi, whether you gave it away to the Nasi, Ve'echad Kosev L'Hedyet, or to just an ordinary citizen. That's okay. Ma ben Kosev L'Nasi, L'Kosev L'Hedyet. If that's the case, you know, why would the Mishnah specifically mention a Nasi? Is there any difference? Yes, there is some slight difference. There's a slight advantage to a Nasi. Because when you give it away to the Nasi, you don't have to actually make a kinyan and give it to him. He automatically gets it. It's like an unclaimed property. It goes to the public trustee. So by default, it goes to the Nasi. He doesn't have to make a kinyan. Or as some of Farshim learn, it's based on Hefker, Bezdin Hefker. He can sort of assume possession of any property given up by the citizens. You don't have to give by way of kinyan, as opposed to lehedyot. When you give it to an ordinary person, you have to make a kinyan. Tzarech lezakos. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. V'chachamim aimrim, we don't agree. Echot ze, v'chot ze, tzrichen lezakos. Whether it's a nasi or an hedyot, in order to carry this process through, you have to make a kinyan and give him your portion legally via transaction. L'dibru b'nasi ela b'hoiva. The only reason why the Mishnah made mention of the Nasi, because that's typical, that's your classic example. That's the way they used to do it. rather than giving away his portion to a private person, which carries a risk that perhaps that person will get mad at him and make him usher. Right? You give away your thing to that person will forbid you from entering the shul. He might get mad at you down the road and make a neder against you, and then you're really in trouble, so you give it to the nasi. As Tosu says, Hanasi einu ragil lahader lahakbid al Yisrael. Hanasi, our humble leaders, Hillel Hazaken, we all know he was the epitome of savlanus, patience, determined but humble, recipe of a successful leader. So it was just typical to give it to the nasi, and you know you're safe. But halachically speaking, whether you choose the nasi or a hedyut as the recipient of your generosity, it's done the same way. You need a kinyan. So the Ran asks, well, according to the Rabbanon, what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? You're basically taking your item or your asset, your possession, and giving it to somebody else to allow the other person, the mudar, to use it. Well, that's been discussed in the Mem Gimel. We're going to be discussing it in a few minutes again. What's the point of the repetition? So he says a chiddush. Don't think it's just a ruse, a harama, a trick. You know, he says even after he gives away his chelik to the nasi, he goes and davens in the shul. It almost looks like the whole thing was just a game. No, it's okay. It's a real gift. He relinquishes legal rights to his portion in the Beis HaKnesses, which allows his friend to use it. Rabbi Doimer, ein anshei golel tzrichel nichtav. You know, typically you have to commit in writing, you have to give away your portion. But in golel, there's no need. It's already ingrained in the system. Shekar kosra v'seyen al yedem. In golel, they were testy people, and their parents already, you know, took care of it for them. They already prearranged the system that, you know, the Beis HaKnesses belongs to the Nasi, and this way, don't worry about Nedarim making each other usher, etc. Asks the Gemara, well, the Mishnah tells us, if he's usher to use his friend's things because of the Neder, keep away from the Shul, etc. And it says, V'akoysev chalkal Nasi, which almost sounds like, when you do that, it makes you usher. Right, it's like on the list of things that you can't use, the merchats, etc. V'akoysev chalkal Nasi. I'm a mitzvah. What does that make anybody else? What's going on? Amar v'sheishes, sachik tani, as we explained, umatak nasan, when you have a nether which forbids joint use of the shul, what's the solution? The answer is, yichtivu chalkal Nasi. They shall give away their portion to the Nasi. Let's skip over the brackets. Rabbi Da'imer, in anshe golo tzrichan lazakis, Shekvar Kosvaz Avesenya Yedeyem, Tanya Rabbi Da'imer. What was unique about Gol? Anshe Gol Kanter Ronin Hayu. They were testy, irritable people. And this was very, very much expected. And therefore, the parents arranged this ahead of time. Voyunoidur Hanoza Mizeh. It was typical for them to make Nedarim against each other. Amdav the same. So the parents decided, let's take care of it ahead of time. Magdim Refor Lamaka Vokasvu Chalkein Lanasi. And they gave up their portion to the Nasi. Says the Mishnah, Mudar no mechavir. So you can't have enough from his friend. Ve'lo mayoichal, he's stuck without food. Nois noy la'achal l'shamatono. So the generous benefactor will take his food and give it to somebody. Bimatono. Perhaps he's trying to make amends. You know, his firms say, k'mayim panim al panim. When there's animosity and dislike, the most effective solution is that a generous one amongst them should go ahead and try to turn things around by arousing ava and positive regard to his friend. And even if he does it in his own heart, it's unknown to his friend. It's going to make an effect on him. Kamayim panam upon him, like the water precisely reflects the impression of a person's countenance. Likewise, our hearts reflect each other's attitudes. And perhaps he's trying to make up by, you know, going and be nice to this fellow who doesn't want to have hana from him, if that's the case here, that the friend made the hana, the neder from him. In any case, he's trying to help him out. So he gives it to somebody else as a gift. And once it's in the other person's possession, it's no longer asur. on the Yimudar, v'ala mutar bo, which allows the Yimudar to take it from that third party. Ma'asa be'echad, be'beis chayver. It was a story involving a fellow who lived in Beis Chayver. Shaya aviv, mudar heimenu hano. His own father was not allowed to have anah from the son. So the father was Reuven, who made a neder from having anah from Shimon. V'yamasa espinoi, Shimon was actually making a wedding, marrying off his son Levi, and he wanted his father to attend. Problem is, his father may not partake in his son's Shimon's ceremony. He can't have an offer from him. So what did he do? He discovered a solution. So Shimon, the son, turns to his friend Yehuda, and he says, "Look, my father Reuven can't have an offer from me, but I wanted to attend. Chatzar Suda Nusunim. Everything here, the wedding hall, the dinner material, everything is given to you as a gift. But you should know, I have an agenda. I'm not giving gifts today. I'm not giving you the wedding for no reason. The whole purpose of doing this is to enable my father to come attend the meal." So he conditioned it. He clearly stipulated. He put his foot in his mouth. "I'm not giving it to you. The whole purpose is just to sort of launder it with you so that it's yours and not mine for the time being, so my father can come join." Omar, so the recipient, the smart fellow, he says, "Look, he's a lamdan. Omar, im shalihim, look, if it's mine, harihim mukdashim lo shamayim, I'm giving it to Hashem to hekdish." "Well, if you're giving it to me, I'm making it hekdish." He was sort of testing him. Omar lo, so the benefactor, the Baal Hasuda says, "Look, I never gave it to you, so you pass it on to Hegdash. That wasn't the purpose. Remember, the purpose was to allow my father to attend." Amar lo, so the recipient says, "Well, are we playing games? You mean to say that you gave me the wedding, since you want your father to come and drink together, have a good time with you, make up with each other, and I'm going to be left carrying the bag, and I'm going to be guilty for having facilitated this type of violation of the nether. This is a joke, this is a farce, this is not a sincere gift." Says the Mishnah, he was right. And there's a Gersa. In fact, when the story was presented to the Chachamim, look what happened. This guy offered him the meal and he sort of rejected. They said he's right. In fact, it has to be legitimate. It has to be a real deal. Kol matana she'ena she'im yekdisha te'im yekadesh she'ena matana. If it's a gift, an alleged gift, she'ena, which doesn't have the power to allow the recipient to take his gift and do whatever he wants with it, including making it hegdish. She'ena, it doesn't have the power. She'imigdish te'imikodeshes, it doesn't have the ability to enable the recipient to make it hegdish. Ena matam, it's not a gift. He's 100% right. You can't do this. And the Ran asks Akasha, "What do you mean? We all know about matana amanas lahachzer, right? You can take a lulav on the first day of Sukkot, after you use it, give it to your friend for a few minutes, on condition that he returns it. It doesn't have to be a permanent gift for it to be considered a real gift. So why is this worse? Why is this different?" Answer is, it is worse. When you give your friend that lulav, why are you doing it? Because he needs it. You're giving it to him b'lev shalom, with a full heart. He can use it, as long as he owns it. It's on condition that he returns it. So ultimately, you want it back. But when he has it, it's his. When he has it, he can use it. It's meant for his use. It's a real matana. Here it's not. This fellow had no interest in giving away the dinner to the stranger. It was just a ploy. It was just a trick to get his father to come to the meal. Even for one moment, he had no das to give it to the other fellow. That's not a matana. So the Mishnah began with a fellow who's a mudar hano. He's desperate. The other fellow can take some food material and give it to a third party who will transfer it to the Mudar Hano. And then we have a story of Beis Chayrin where he tried a similar tactic and it didn't work. Now, typically, when you bring a story, it is meant to support, to substantiate, to elaborate on what you said, not to contradict what you said. Masa Lister, since when are you bring a story to contradict what you said? First you say, you can do such a thing. You can give a third party material which will be transferred to the Mudar HaNo, because it's not coming from you, it's coming from the third party. And then you say you can't do it, as per the wedding story. Chesur Mechshur V'chitoni, the Mishnah is meant to be learned as though it's missing some words, and you read it like this. Sure, you can take material and give it to a third party, who may or may not decide to give it to the desperate Mudar HaNo. You can do that, because it's a real, legitimate, sincere gift. But V'imoychiach Soifa Atchilasim. But ultimately, if at the end of the day, it was ayichach, an indication, by way of words or actions, this whole process was just a ploy. Usher, it doesn't work. Umasa Nami, now comes a story to prove this fact. There is an example of a fellow who overturned the cart. He says, look, I'm giving it to you, but, what a big but. It's only meant to allow my father. He conditioned, he indicated it wasn't really a true gift, and therefore it doesn't work. Now, what words would he say to undo the gift? How strong does he have to indicate that it's only meant to enable father to come in order to disrupt the process? Amarava, so the first version of Rava, we're more lenient. It has to be a clear stipulation, otherwise it can go through. Lo yishonu, it's only a concern. It is only not considered a gift. Elo d'amalei, only if he actually tells it to him. Ve'enon lefanecha, elo kadesh yav'av, all purposes. Just to allow my father. So he sort of conditioned it. That condition undid the whole process. It's not real. It's not sincere. Aval. Well, let's say he used a sort of a parv expression. Amalei, he says, look, here, take the whole wedding home. I want my father to attend. So he's sort of leaving it up to him. So I'm giving you the option. I'm not forcing you. I'm not conditioning the gift upon my father's attendance. Here is the gift. Here is the dinner. And I'd like my father to attend. So ultimately, the fellow is not committed. It's not a condition. That's okay. Because the gift is a true gift. So it happens to be he has an agenda, but he didn't condition it upon that eventuality. So it's okay. Lishna achrin amrlo, in the second lashon, one more machmer. Even this is a problem. Amar Rav lo yitein matama. Don't think the concern only applies when he says, the amar lo yivayin on the fanecha. Hu da'asr. Only in that case, when he conditioned it, it's an indication that it's not a real gift. Aval Amar Levi, if you just tell him parv, hey, no fanecha sheva abba, you know, it's all there, and I'd like my father to come. V'yoychal, and come have, you know, join us. Don't think that's mutter. Even that's asr. Ela filu Amar Levi, hey, no fanecha v'yavi abba v'yoychal asr. Even that's asr. My time, because sudosoy, this immense meal here, this grand preparation, mechachas olav, is a clear indication and a raya. Irrefutable raya, that it's really a condition. So even though he didn't articulate it as such, he didn't express a tanai, but he indicated his purpose, he indicated the goal. And look what's going on here. All this effort and money invested, nobody just gets rid, nobody just gives this away for no reason. So it's like anan sadi, it's so clear and evident that this process, this transfer, so to speak, is very much conditional upon father's attendance. And that's the purpose and goal of this whole interaction. It's a farce. It's a ploy. It's not a real gift. How Gavr? We have this fellow. Gavr Lebra. So he actually had two sons. One was a well-behaving son, and one was a little bit of a troublemaker. That was Shamit. He would snatch. He would rob. Kipi bundles the kitten of flax. So one son, a Malach, other son, a Galach. He says, look, I have no interest in having this misbehaving son take part in any of my assets, whether during my lifetime or after my death. Amar Leih, so his friends tell him, 1 second, you never know. Maybe he'll come up with a good son. Maybe he'll have a good grandson. Why are you blocking out this family completely? V'yavoi bar baruch. What happens if your grandson, the son of this troublemaker, will be a tzurim rabbana, Talmud Chacham, Mai, what would you do then? Don't you want to have him to have something? It's your schutz to support Torah. So the father made a turnabout. He said, okay, you're right, you have a good point. Amar Leih, he says, Likni Hadein. So in fact, I'm willing to give, 50% of my assets to this troublesome son, on condition that if he has a son that will be a Talmud Chacham, then the transaction will carry through. V'yahavei bar bri, and in fact, if my son will be a tzurim rabban, a Talmud Chacham l'knayei, the kinyan should go through. Otherwise, my first son, the tzaddik, will get everything. So again, he had two sons, Reuven and Shimon. He says, look, I'm willing to give 50% to Reuven and 50% to Shimon, the misbehaving son, but not for his own sake, only on condition that he ends up with a good son who's deserving of my generosity. Otherwise, if that doesn't happen, all 100% of my properties go to Reuven, the good son. Mai, does this work or not? Amri Pumbedisoi, so the Rabbanim in Pumbedisa said, it doesn't work. Why? Because is he giving something to Shimon at the moment? No. He's making a kinyan with Shimon, but he's not giving him anything. It's sort of an incomplete transfer. Look, make a kinyan, but don't get anything until we'll see. 50 years down the line, we'll see what happens. And if, in fact, we're lucky to have a good grandson, then the kinyan takes effect. You can't do that. Kni al manas lahaknesu. He's not getting anything for himself. It's like a person's making a kinyan, but has nothing from it. It's just to give it over to the other fellow. V'chol kni al manas lahaknes lekani. When you acquire something without any personal interest, it's not going to end up by you. You're just taking it for the other person. That doesn't work. When you make a kinyan, you have to acquire. You have to absorb. You have to take possession. Shimon is not taking anything from this deal. It's all about the grandson. And it doesn't work. That's from Buddhis. Rav Nachman Amar Koni. Of course it works. I'll bring you a solid proof. We do this all the time by a wedding. Kinyan Sudar. Right? You hand the chasen, a yarmulke, a pen. He takes it. And upon receiving that item, he's not planning on keeping it. It's a temporary acquisition. Upon receiving that item, he's committing to something in exchange for that item. Why is he acquiring that item? To keep it? No. The whole point is to enable that exchange. The hosudra, this handkerchief, which we use for chalipin, kini amnas lahaknesu. It's a kinyan, right? For one purpose, and one purpose only, to enable the switch. I'm taking it so that when I take it, it's having gotten something from you, which enables me to give you something in return. That's the way chalipin works. I don't plan on holding this item. I don't need this item. I'm only making sort of temporary use of taking possession of this item to enable the kinyan to work. It's a kni, I'm taking, I'm not lachni, for the simple reason, for the simple purpose of giving away the other item. And it works. Kni, I'm not lachni, so it works here as well. Shimon the bad son can make a kinyan, although it's not benefiting him personally. It's amnas lahakas. It's for it to be funneled over to his son. That works. He can serve sort of as a pipeline to transfer to his son. Omar of Ashi, he disagrees with Rav Nachman. You bring a raya from Kinyan Sudar. Uman Leimel in the Sudra, who's to tell us that by the Kinyan Sudar, it's only a temporary holding. Itofesle, suppose the one receiving this handkerchief, he decides to grab it, hold on to it. Loi mitfas, who says it doesn't work? Right? Uman leimelon, who's to tell us? A sudra, itofesle loi mitfas. Maybe he could actually hold on to it for all time. if he chooses to hold on to the handkerchief, it's his. So it's a proper acquisition, it's a proper kin. Well, he chooses to give it back, it's his. That's his bechira. It's his decision. But when he has it, it has it. And he can keep it forever. Avoid another kasha. Sudra, even by the Kenyan sudra, it is a kni. Even though it's a kni, amnas lahaknis. The purpose is to acquire this thing only to enable the hakna, the passing on the other item in exchange for this item. So it's not meant, let's say it's not meant for permanent hold. You're not meant to hold on to it for all time. It's just temporarily yours to enable this switch, to enable this reciprocatory, you know, commitment. I'm taking the sudra, I'm committing to give you the field or whatever. But there's still a big difference. The fact is, I'm making the kinyan. I'm carrying through the kinyan right now. So I take the handkerchief, or the pen, or the yarmulke. I take possession. I'm sort of using it for the time being, so that in exchange for this, taking possession of this item, exchange for receiving this item, I'm giving you something else. That's chalipin. So it's happening right now. Before I give it back to you. Let's say I have to give it back to you. Fine. But for the time being, whatever he has, he has. It's his. Albeit temporarily. Fine. It's a temporary acquisition. But when he has it, it's his. As opposed to the father with the son, it was never Shimon's for a moment. Father doesn't want to give Shimon anything right now. He's just making a kinyan, an empty shell, just a kinyan, without any practical implications at the moment. It's sort of hovering, awaiting future developments. Will I have a grandson at tzaddik? Oh, then I want him to acquire. So right now it's just an empty shell. It's a worthless act. Halei nixon da'adein. But these possessions, these properties, you know, that belong to Reuven. When does the kinyan go through? When is it going to be transferred? Only when grandson will turn out to be a prize student. But until then, nothing's happening. So, when in fact that happens later on, 50 years down the road, it's over. The kinyan was long gone. Hadar Surja Lamar, it's as though the handkerchief went back to its owner. It's just an expression. It means to say, the mass is long over. Therefore, it doesn't work. So the bottom line is, we have sort of, you know, three levels of matana at this point. Soon we'll come up with a fourth one. But we have three at this point. An ordinary, typical matana. I'm gifting you something for real. No problem there. I'm giving it to you for the time being, unconditionally. Give it back to me later. That's okay too. Because when you have it, you have it. And it was meant for your use. The purpose was to help you use the lulav, etc. So when you have it, it's a proper matana. Then we have kniyam nas lahaknis. I don't really, you know, have you in mind. I'm only using you as a stepping stone, as a funnel, as a pipeline. Take it for the other person. Does that work? So by the kinyan chalipin, it does work. Even though he's just accepting the sudr in order to be makna the other item, it works. And the Ran explains, lamaskana, we go with the second pshat, because it's happening right away. When I have it, it's for my use, and at this point I'm making that exchange. I'm taking this thing, holding on to it, and in exchange I'm giving the other item, so it works. Because the ownership, taking possession, receiving this item, even though it's just a temporary hold, but when I have it, it's mine. For the time being, it's mine. And right now, I'm giving you something else in exchange. That's legal, that works. And now a situation where it was a kniyam nas lahaknis. But there was no manifestation, no implementation of that kinyan until grandson shows up. Here we have a machlekes. Rav Nachum says it works, and Rav Ashi disagrees. Amalei Rav Rav Nachum. How could you say it works? Remember that story in the Mishnah? father couldn't enjoy his son's company, son gave away the dinner to the friend, and it doesn't work. Here, take it, for the sake of father coming and joining the meal. The whole purpose of giving you the meal, I'm not lacking, so you can share with my father. And it doesn't work. Well, like a cunning. So you see, it doesn't work. So Rav Nachman had a choice of two answers. Zimnan, one time, Amar le mishum sudasa mechachas olav. He would answer Rava like this. Here it's different. It's just a ploy. It's harama. It's just a pretense. He's pretending. He's not really trying to give it over to his friend. Look what's going on. Look what kind of effort, time, and money they invested in preparing for this wedding. Nobody's giving away this wedding for free. And in fact, as the Ran explains, really, you know, a person wants his father to attend his wedding. He wants to be the host. He doesn't want to give away the wedding material to his friend and have his father join this sort of strangely owned wedding, hosted by his friend. He wants to be the host. That's the way people are. So it's clear that he's not really trying to give it away. He's just using the other fellow as a means to get his father to come. It's just harama. It's not really a true gift. It's not even kniyam nas lahaknis. It's a lower level. There's no kinyan at all. As opposed to the story of the father with the two sons, says the Ran over there. Actually, if anything, he wants Shimon, the less than optimal son, to actually get it for the time being and then transfer it to the grandson who is worthy of that inheritance. He wants it to happen that way. Because that's the way Nachla works. That's the way Yerusha works. Kids take over their parents' assets, the parents' estates. So that's why here it works, as opposed to the case of the wedding, where it doesn't. V'zimnan amalei, at other times, Rav Nachman answered another teretz. You're right. K'ni amnas l'haknis works, in choshen mishpat, in financial matters. But here, we are speaking in the Dorim, and we're more machmer. We have higher standards by Nedarim. And because of Chumra de Nedarim, we don't allow this to go through. We consider it as a non-Kinyan. Therefore, father can't join the wedding. Vizin and Amalei, just like we say, over there by Idrisa Saregel, typically it's not something that people care about. But by Nedarim, we considered having Hanoah from the benefactor, from the landowner. Rabbi Lazari, right? The Amar, Afilu Vitor, Asur, Mudan Hanoah. Why can't you walk through the fellow's property? It's vitzur, something people are not really particular about, but when it comes to Nedarim, we consider it having gotten a benefit from the property owner. Nedarim has higher standards here as well. You can't join the wedding. Okay, one more piece. Tanan. Let's go back to the Mishnah, which concludes with the following statement. Omru Chacham, Chachamim lay down a general rule. If you want it to be a gift, be careful. It has to be a proper gift. If it's not really a gift, if it's a gift which doesn't allow the recipient to give it away to a Hagdish, it's worthless. That's the litmus test. Now, why does the Mishnah say kol? Kol is usually an inclusive term. What case, what chiddush is the Mishnah including here? Kol le'isuyimai. Perhaps the Mishnah is including the case of the son who would grab the bundles, the old story with the father and the two sons. But even that doesn't work. It's not a true gift. Because it's just a transfer point to get to the grandson. It's not a real gift to the less than optimal son. So it's a raya against Rav Nachman. It says a more lie. Perhaps that's not what the Mishnah is alluding to. Rather, when the Mishnah says kol matana, it's going back to the story of the wedding, a base chayran. Remember, we had two lashonos of Rava. And according to the second lashon of Rava, we were machmer. It goes without saying that if he gives it away with a condition, look, I'm giving it to you, with the sole purpose of having my father arrive, that doesn't work. That undoes the whole process. But even if he wasn't so expressive, he says, look, take it, and I'd like my father to show up. Even that doesn't work. Because that indicates a non-gift. That's all the Mishnah is trying to include. Loy lasuya lishna basra, the Shemaita, the Rava, the second version of Rava, even that's problematic. But perhaps when it comes to the case of the father with two sons, with Kniyam Nas Lahaknis, it would work. Hadron Lacha Shutfim. So what do we learn today? When there's a nether between people, they can still make use of national institutions in which they don't have a personal stake, but not local community institutions. The only way out is to give away your portion to a Nasi or to a Hediot. In Gull, it was all taken care of ahead of time. If there's a Mudar Ano, the fellow can give the material to a third party who will transfer it to the Mudar by his own volition. But if there's any indication that this was done conditional, it wasn't really a gift, it was just to enable the other fellow to get it, it cancels the whole matana. In fact, we saw that in the story of Beis Chayroim. It's not a real matana. And we concluded that there are four or five levels of matana. Basic matana, the real matana, I give you a gift, it's yours. Likewise, if you need my lulav on the first day of Sukkot, I give it to you almanas la'achser, it works as well. Because it was meant for your benefit. I was trying to give you a gift. So as long as you have it, it's yours. It's a true matana. You can make a bracha on the lulav. In fact, there was a story in Marasukah. Rabbi Gamliel with the Iskenim were traveling on a ship, and they had one set of Dalad Minim, and Rabbi Gamliel passed it around. First day of Sukkot, he passed it around, making use of this concept of matana amanas lahakser. Then we have kni amanas lahaknis. Here's the handkerchief. In exchange for that, commit to the chas and kal obligations, etc. It works. That works. What about the case of the father with the two sons? Here, take the 50% stake in my property only for the sake of your grandson if it turns out that he's worthy. That's problematic, that we have a machlekes on. And the worst of all is the case of the Beis Chayron, where he gave it to the other fellow, stipulating it's only yours to enable my father to come. That's the worst example of Kniyam Nas Lahaknis. He's not really trying to give it to him at all. In fact, why would he give up his Suda? Actually, he wants his father to be hosted by himself, by son. So here it's not sincere. That's how Rav Nachman explains the Mishnah. Therefore, it wouldn't work regardless. Hadron l'chashut, and all the best to you, and maybe all zeichet, and much, much siyata d'shmaya.